That was awesome. You know, how much different our walk with the Lord would be if we could just learn that. Wake up in the morning, yes, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord, yes. Well, if you would, go ahead and open in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. When I was asked to preach this, I was excited. I like the title, Pressing Toward the Mark, only because our lives for the last few years has basically just been one moment from another, just constantly pressing toward the mark. And so it was a subject that's really dear to my heart. And, you know, we talked about it several times that I've preached that, you know, my burden is addictions ministry. And for those that are struggling with addictions, it's got to be your motto too. You got to press toward the mark. For those who don't know me too well, anytime I try and speak, I love history. So I try and give a little history lesson. One of the toughest battles fought in the Pacific during World War II was fought in 1943 from November 20th to November 23rd. It was fought on an island chain, an atoll called Tarawa. It was on a little island in that atoll called Betio. And it was an island that's about 2 miles long. At its widest part, it was only 800 yards wide. Little itty-bitty island. The Japanese had spent an entire year fortifying that island. It was littered with concrete bunkers everywhere. They had coastal defense guns that would be able to take out the Navy ships that were coming. In fact, the Japanese commander over that island was so confident with his defenses. He said it would take 1 million men 100 years to conquer that island. 12,000 Marines took it in 72 hours. 72 hours. But listen, they didn't just walk up on the beach and the Japanese said, oh, here comes the Marines, here you go. They didn't just hand the island to the Marines. That was 72 hours of some of the fiercest fighting in the Pacific. At one point in time, they got their intelligence messed up and a bunch of the landing craft got caught 500 yards off the coastline on the coral reef. They were stuck there just sitting ducks, and the Japanese were just wreaking havoc on the Marines caught on those reefs. And listen, during this whole time, they could have just said, you know what, this is a little too tough. I think what we need to do is swim back to the ship. You know what, they said, 1 million men, 100 years, maybe we need to rethink this. You know, the commanders, looking at all the intelligence reports, could have looked at it and go, you know, he did say it's pretty tough. We fought him back at Guadalcanal, and, you know, those were some tough guys. Maybe we can just sit this one out. We'll go around them. Maybe if we wait long enough, they'll just give up. They could have done that. They could have done that, but they didn't. Instead, they did their job. They had a mission to accomplish, and they pressed towards the mark of that mission. And that's taking that island and sending the Japanese packing. And listen, all of us as believers, guess what? We've got a mission too. We've got a mission too. And you know what? This mission is a lot more important than the mission those Marines had in the Pacific in World War II. And that's spreading the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. We've got a mission. We've got a mission. And listen, in this day and age, it's real easy to kind of become complacent, to become comfortable with where we're at. You know, I kind of like my spot in church where I sit. I kind of like what I'm doing now. It's comfortable. Everybody knows me. It's real easy to be complacent. You know, I don't need to visit. I'll shoot them a text. It's real easy in this day and age. You know, in the face of opposition, or sometimes in the face of success, we can just kind of do the status quo. But as I said, we've been given this important mission. And in our passage here, in chapter 3 of Philippians, we're going to see three key ways that as believers we can press toward the mark in Christ. You know, let's take a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for tonight. I want to thank you again for this opportunity here to preach your word. But Lord, I just pray that tonight all eyes are on you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that our hearts are just eager and ready to grow and to learn from your truth, Lord, because it's your truth that'll strengthen us. It's your truth that'll set us free from the bondage of the world and from the temptations that come our way. Lord, it's only through your strength that we'll be able to press towards the mark. Lord, it's through your word that we'll learn the principles we need to apply in our lives so we'll be those lights in this dark world. So, Lord, I pray tonight that we're all just eager, we're ready. Lord, I pray to be a humble teacher. Just use me tonight as your tool, simply to share your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I thank you, Lord, for your work on the cross, and I thank you for your word. And I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Look at verses 13 and 14. This is kind of the key verses here for this message. We're going to learn three principles. The first one, if you're going to press toward the mark in Christ, if you're going to fulfill the mission that we've been given, the first thing we need to do is by forgetting the past. You got to forget the past. Look at verses 13 and 14. Paul writes to the Philippian church here. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Listen, everyone has a past. You can't avoid it. Every single one of us here has a past. And the sad thing is, though, is many people, that past is keeping them from ever moving forward. That past is keeping them in a stranglehold. And so instead of pressing towards the mark, instead of serving the Lord and being that light, they're just motionless. You know, some of you out there tonight may be struggling with things in your past. Maybe it's decisions that you made. Maybe it's events that have happened that you just can't move beyond and you're haunted by to this day. And as a result, you feel like, you know, just God can't use me. I don't feel like God wants to use me for anything. And so you never get beyond just sitting in the pews on Sunday morning. You never move on and join a life group. You never move on and get involved and say things like the deaf ministry or drive the van. You never go, you know what? Maybe I should take a Bible Institute class to grow. You feel like God can't use you. And as a result, you never really truly grow in your understanding of God's word. And you never really truly grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And listen, Paul had a past. He had a past too, and that's in your handout. Make sure you get that. Paul had a past. He persecuted the church greatly. This should be up on the PowerPoint. Acts chapter 26, verses 9 through 11. Look what Paul says about himself here. He says, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ." Paul says, "I put an effort into do things against Jesus Christ." Look what else he says. "To the name of Jesus, now which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison." He put believers in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, look what he says, "I gave my voice against them." Paul said, "Kill them. They're following this guy named Jesus. Kill them." And he says, "I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." Listen, Paul, who wrote more books in the New Testament than any other author, was the chief enemy of Christ. Paul had a past too. And listen, on that day, on the road to Damascus, he came face to face with his Lord and Savior. And you know, his past could have crippled him right there. He could have said, "Oh, I know you're Lord, but how in the world can you use me? Look at all the things that I did against you." Yet look what Paul says in verses 13 and 14. He says, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." This is one thing that Paul is beyond a doubt sure about. "This one thing I do," he says, "forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." When he came face to face before Jesus Christ, he didn't say, "How can I be used? Look at my past." He said, "I forget those things because I see who is standing before me. And that's who I'm going to serve." So how was Paul able to forget the past and press onward? Get this. This is in your handout. He did it by realizing who he really was in Christ. He realized who he was now in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," if you know it, he is a what? New creature. Old things are what? Passed away, that means they're done. They're gone. They're passed away. They're no longer a part of you anymore. He says, "Behold, all things are become new." Listen, if you are in Christ right now, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, it doesn't matter what was in your past. You are a new creature right now. Maybe you were walking in sexual sin. You were a fornicator. But guess what? In Christ, you're a new creature. Maybe you like to take things. You're a thief. But now in Christ, you're not a thief anymore. You're a new creature. Your old self is gone. It's passed away. Paul writes to the Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20. He says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live," but here you go, "yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." It's Christ living through him. And he says, "The life in which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." He lived his life by the faith of Christ. He knew who he was now. He was no longer that persecutor. He was no longer the one seeking to kill the Christians. He was in Christ. He was in Christ. Your past should not hold a burdensome grip over you. Listen to me. You are no longer your past. No matter what you may think, if you are in Christ, God tells you you are a new creature. Don't listen to the lies Satan may put in your head. You're a new creature in Christ. And listen, if you're going to press toward the mark in Christ, you got to let go of those past burdens. Paul says, forgetting the past, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth. Man, that's like going just way out, going as far as you possibly can and then going even more. Sometimes you got to stand up trying to get something on the shelf and you're doing the tippy toe dance on the chair. You know, I see Cameron sometimes reaching up on the office chair that swivels and I about have a heart attack. And it's like, quit reaching forth. Get down. But that's reaching out for something and then going that extra little bit. Stepping out of your comfort zone. Stepping beyond what you're normally used to. Paul says, man, I'm reaching forth. I'm pressing on. I'm not stopping. Because I know who I am in Christ. The second thing is, if you're going to press towards the mark in Christ, you need to do that by following godly examples. Listen, I know when a lot of believers accept Christ, it's an exciting day and you're ready to go. But a lot of times it's not. It's kind of scary. Man, what do I do now? I had this life before. Now I'm this new creature. What do I do? Well, you do it by following godly examples. Look around. Listen, the Christian walk, and this is in your handout, the Christian walk is not a solo act. Okay? It's not a one-man show, but one where unity and fellowship are essential. You know, we learned that Sunday morning. Teamwork. The importance of teamwork. Listen, loneliness is not one of the fruit of the Spirit. All right? You're not going to find that in there. You're not going to find loneliness being one of those important aspects of your walk with Christ. In fact, what did we learn from Galatians 2:20? Paul said, Christ in me. So the fact of the matter is, you may be by yourself, but you're really not. You got Christ with you. You got Christ with you. I shared it with the singles on the retreat. The day I finally understood that was an amazing day. I was bummed out in my apartment by myself and just kind of sitting there praying to the Lord. And why am I always lonely? And all of a sudden it hit me. I'm not lonely. I got Christ in me. Man, I jumped off all that couch and I'm like, Lord, this is so fantastic. Everywhere I go, you're with me. People looking in through the window were probably going, what is that crazy guy doing in there? Talking to himself. But it wasn't. You got Christ in you. Look at this. It should be on the PowerPoint. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 25 through 27. Look what it says, that there should be no schism in the body. That's division. There should be no division. But that the members should have the what? Same care, one for another. Be on the same page. And whether one member suffer, what's that next word? All. Does that exclude anyone? No. All the members suffer with it. Man, when we hear of a brother or sister in Christ in the hospital, man, we should be moved to be praying for them. If we can visit them, visit them. We should all suffer together. Or one member be honored. All the members rejoice with it. Listen, we got students graduating from the Bible Institute. Man, this is their time. What an awesome thing that is. We shouldn't be sitting out there going, well, look at them. Don't they think they're special? No, we should be jumping up and down. Praise God. Another group took the effort to study and learn God's Word. They made a commitment for 3 years. Man, fantastic. Praise God. Man, when a member is honored, all the members should rejoice with it. He says, now ye are the body of Christ. And members in particular, we are the body of Christ. Teamwork should describe the local church with the sole purpose of encouraging each other and spreading the good news of Christ. That's how it's going to get out, is teamwork. Teamwork. Nowhere do you see that this is a one-man show. Pastor Dan can't do it all by himself up here. Rob can't handle the teens all by himself. You know, Arla and Jeff, they can't do the deaf ministry all by themselves. We're a team. We're a body. I mean, we'd think it kind of weird if my arm just dropped off my body here and started bouncing down the road and decided I'm going to go to McDonald's. I don't know what he'd eat because he doesn't have a mouth. But we think that's strange. Yet when one of our members slip off, we don't think another thing about it. Oh, well, you know. No, we're members together. Together, teamwork. Listen, what are the key factors behind those 12,000 Marines taking that island that the Japanese commander said would take 100 years? They did it in 72 hours. But they couldn't have done it if those 12,000 Marines were acting like 12,000 individuals. And listen, having spent 4 years myself in the Marine Corps, I mean, we used to joke that if one guy got gas, the rest of us burped. You know? because of the teamwork. I knew that when I was doing this job, my buddies were doing theirs. And if something should happen to me, they'd pick up the pace. And I knew they wouldn't leave me behind. That was one of the most key important things about their victory there. And shouldn't the body of Christ be even better examples of teamwork? Listen, we got one thing those Marines didn't have in the Pacific, and that's the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the Holy Spirit, and yet together they faced insurmountable odds, and they pressed towards their goal. Man, the church should be shining examples of that. Man, we should be no different. And listen, an important way the church can have this kind of teamwork is through mentoring others in God's Word. Look at verse 17 here in chapter 3. Paul says, "Brethren, be followers together of me." And then he says, "And mark them which walk so, as you have us as an example." He says, "Listen, I'm your example. Follow me." And all of those that are doing that, pay attention. Use them as your example. Listen, be an example for a younger believer who's maybe just accepted Christ and wants to know, what do I do? Maybe you're one of them. Don't sit there wonder what you should do. Find somebody that you always see in church. Man, they always seem to be talking to the pastor. Maybe they know what they're doing. Grab them. Say, "Hey, I need help learning this. Can you help me?" Man, they should be just jumping for joy. Praise God. "Yeah, I will. When do you want to meet?" One of the things that I enjoy doing every Saturday morning at Panera, 6:30. Guys, that's a little hint. I meet with a group of guys. We have coffee. Panera's free refills, so in case you're wondering why we go there. We have coffee, and we're just verse by verse going through Paul's writings. Just taking time to spend with these three guys to help them learn and grow. Man, there's nothing better than that. I don't need to be sanctioned by anyone. I don't need to be ordained. I found three guys that wanted to learn and grow, and I said, "All right, get up early. Get up early. You'll find who's committed. 6:30 Saturday morning. You'll find who's committed." But no. Man, if you've been getting grounded, especially those of you in the Bible Institute, find someone. Watch this screen when we got new members. Go to them and say, "Listen, man, that's fantastic you're joining. How can I help you?" Reach out. Teamwork. Mentor someone. Listen, not only should you look to Paul's example in the Bible, but look for those godly examples here in the church. Find someone that can mentor you, and then mentor someone else. Why is this so important? Why am I stressing this? Look down at verses 18 and 19. Paul goes on to say, we'll start in 17, get context. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." Now look at this. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping." It broke Paul's heart. "That they are the what? Enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Get this in your handout. There are people out there that are enemies of the cross of Christ and will try and lead you astray with false teaching. Listen, Satan ain't going to let us just walk about handing out tracts, being light unto this world, preaching God's word without opposition. Without opposition. And listen, he doesn't have to come at you with a frontal attack. All he's got to do is just get you believing a half-truth, which, by the way, is still a lie. And next thing you know, you're listening to all sorts of gobbledygook out there. And you're not being grounded. And then you turn away. Listen, there are enemies out there, people waiting to deceive. While teaching the Bible Institute, I was asked the question, how do you detect all of this? I was teaching hot topics. How do you detect things like false teaching and the occult and all this stuff that's trickled in now in popular Christian stuff? They'll put a cross and a fish on anything. I said, learn the truth. Learn the truth. You want to know how to find a falsehood? Know the truth inside and out. Rightly divided. That's why the Bible Institute's so important. I can guarantee you get involved in the Bible Institute, you're going to know God's Word rightly divided. You're going to be able to take what you've learned and find all that falsehood. Those false teachers are going to come up and you're going to be like, No. I know the truth. And here it is. I know the truth. Listen, getting involved in fellowship with other believers that are rooted and grounded in the truth, it's only going to do one thing and help you get rooted and grounded in the truth. And as a result, it'll be an encouragement to you in your time of struggle. It'll be an encouragement to you. If you're going to press toward the mark in Christ, you got to forget the past and you got to follow godly examples. But the last way is by focusing on Christ's strength. By focusing on Christ's strength. You know, Paul had an amazing background. He had a resume that he could be proud of. You know, if there was anyone here that could boast of their accomplishments, it was Paul. And in Philippians chapter 3 here in verses 5 through 6, he lists his accomplishments. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He had all these great things going for him. Man, he had that resume. But when it was all said and done, though, Paul states that all of his fleshly accomplishments were counted as loss for Christ. Look at verse 8. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Listen, he states all of those things, when it was all said and done, was nothing but a big pile of worthless garbage. It was worthless. He had all these wonderful worldly things and accomplishments. And when it came to Christ, it was nothing. It was nothing. He could try and pick himself up by his own bootstraps, but he says it was worthless. Listen, you may have wonderful talent and ability, and praise God that you do. It's an awesome, awesome blessing. But if you're using those talents in the hopes of personal accomplishment, you're doing nothing but a work in the flesh. And Paul says, it's nothing but garbage. Nothing but garbage. Listen, your focus should be yielding your life to Christ. And that's in your handout. Your focus should be yielding your life to Christ, and using your talents and abilities for His glory. For His glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. To His glory. 1 Corinthians 1:30 through 31 says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Listen, if you're going to get just all excited about something, get excited about God. If you want great accomplishment, man, praise God. If there's going to be any kind of glory in your life, It should all be focused towards Him. Your strength is only going to get you so far. I know, I've tried. It only ends in defeat. But man, through Christ, you can press towards that mark, giving Him the glory. As you yield your life to Christ, you'll end up having a desire to press towards the mark. And you'll desire to accomplish the mission of the high calling of Christ. Remember in verse 14 here, he says, I press toward the mark. What was he pressing towards? For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, this high calling is sharing the gospel with unbelievers with the hope that they'll trust Christ as their Savior. Man, that high calling is the day that we stand before our Lord, we step off into eternity, and we get to see all the people that we had a part in bringing to eternity with us with our Lord and Savior. Man, what an awesome prize that is. To me, that beats all the stuff this world could give me. And sure, there's a lot of flashy, wonderful things out there, but they're not going to last. To seeing those people standing with you. Folks, I was sharing with the staff this morning during devotion time. People, there's only two places where we can go when eternity comes. It's either eternity with Christ in heaven or eternally separated from Him in hell. It's the only two options. And listen, Jesus isn't down here right now walking around. He's in us. And we got to rest in His strength and to be that shining light. In your handout it says, we've all been given the mission of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the lost world around us. Up on the PowerPoint, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20 says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. We're reconciled to God through Jesus. And look, hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We have that ministry now. Every single believer, if you want to know, hey, what ministry should I do? Well, you've already been given one. That's sharing the good news. That's the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And here you go. Here's what's even better. Not only has He given you the ministry, look here, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You even got the words to share. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We're now ambassadors. But we got to do that resting in the strength of Christ. Not our own strength. Listen, it's easy to become complacent, to allow past hurts or successes to keep you from serving the Lord. Paul states, though, that it's important to forget the past and stay focused on pressing on toward the mark. That goal of glorifying God, reaching others with the gospel, but also resting in your future hope. Listen, we got a wonderful future ahead of us. Every believer. And listen, this should motivate you. Look at verses 20 through 21. He says, for our conversation, our conduct, our citizenship, our home. If you're in Christ, your home is no longer here. You're just an ambassador. You're down here on a mission. All right? For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our eyes should be. How can we press towards the mark? How can we keep going when things are tough? Because I got a Lord and Savior waiting for me. But that's not all. Look what else. He says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working there whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. I'd love to serve. I'd love to press towards the mark. I'm just so tired. My feet hurt. Well, guess what? Pray. You don't have to walk anywhere to pray. But press on, because you got a glorified body to where there'll be no tears. There'll be no pain. No longer. Man, look to that day. When the day looks rough, remember, man, we got this hope of glory in Christ. That gets me excited. Man, if we are going to press toward the mark in Christ, you got to forget the past. Don't let your past keep you from moving forward. You're a new creature in Christ. Follow godly examples. Look to those that can mentor you, that can help you, encourage you, and then help others. And then focus on Christ's strength. Rest in Him every day. Just like Constance sang. Man, every morning the first thing out of her mouth should be, "Yes, Lord, yes. Because I know You'll be there with me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Amen.